Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier, the saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire, and the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2020, and I have another fantastic episode of Fort Laramie with Raymond Burr to bring you today. Today, I thought we'd focus on, there's two wonderful guest actors on this show. There is Parley Bear, who of course plays Chester over on Gunsmoke, and Howard McNear, who plays Doc over on Gunsmoke, and it is so fun to hear them in another show. We often hear the one or the other, like on a different Western. We seldom get them both on the same Western, so here we get a chance to have both of them on here doing a beautiful job with this episode. So without further ado, I'm going to just let you enjoy this fun episode with Parley Bear, Howard McNear, and Raymond Burr, of course, in Fort Laramie. And we'll see you next week.
At the gallop!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Might as well stay mounted, Sergeant. Looks like their stage is ready.
Yes, sir.
I'll talk to the agent. Morning, Mr. Church.
Morning to you, Captain. Did you come for them?
My orders say to meet Mr. and Mrs. Horace Quiring at the Red Cloud Agency and escort them to Fort Laramie.
Good.
That their stage outside?
It is. Did you hear me say good?
I heard you.
Good. That's good for their leaving and good for good riddance, too.
Bureau of Indian Affairs bothering you, Mr. Church?
Bothering's a small word, Captain. I won't try to spell it all out for you. You wouldn't believe me if I did. Suffice it to say, I am played out.
Well, if they're ready...
The Indians are played out, too.
What's the matter with them?
You don't know these folks at all?
No. The Major says Mr. Quiring has something to do with the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Basket weaving, dancing, lore and culture studies, fire making, Indian mythology... Oh, I tell you, Captain, we've had a busy couple of weeks.
Well, if he wants to learn about the Indians, he'd...
Captain, he's been teaching.
He's been teaching the Indians how to make baskets?
That's the least of it. Him and his missus, too, touched up a few of the tribal dances. And that Gussie, she... Oh, say, your orders don't mention Gussie.
Gussie?
She's their niece. A great hand to go around and make fires, rubbing a couple of dry sticks together.
Showed the Indians how, did she?
Oh, they was amazed. Oh, you wouldn't leave Gussie here. Well, I mean, seeing her name ain't set down in your orders. Oh, you wouldn't do a trick like that to me, Captain.
I'll take them all.
Oh, good. Of course, that poses a problem, too.
How's that?
You gotta find them first.
They lost?
Always. Let's go, Captain. Can you see them yet?
I make out three heads up at the top of the rocks. Guess they're heads.
That's the quarrying. From a distance, there's always some question. Then you get close up and... Oh, I've got to rest. Oh, dear. I'm getting lightheaded.
I don't see how they got up that high. Especially the women.
No, you don't. You've got to catch them in the act to believe it. And then you'd swear you hadn't seen it. Oh, active. Mighty active.
Well, I'll go up and get them. Can't keep the patrol sitting around all morning.
I figure they're your responsibility now, Captain. I've done all I can do. And then some.
And we'll pick you up on our way down.
All right.
Mr. Quiring?
Hush.
I never hoped for this. Truly, a Lagopus mutus.
What's your Latin, Gussie? Lagopus leucurus.
Strictly speaking, of course, it's a rupestris. But you can't blame the girls for being carried away.
You talking about that bird there on the ledge?
I know you're going to tell me it's a white-tailed ptarmigan. But in bird circles, it's a...
It's a grouse.
Well, yes, if you want to be blunt, it's a grouse.
Horace?
Right here, Winifred.
Only in the broadest sense is the ptarmigan a grouse. A kin, I'll give you. Nothing more.
Remember, Uncle Horace, Aunt Winifred's last paper before the Ornithological Society definitely established the ptarmigan as a gallinaceous bird akin to the grouse.
Oh, you see, young man, you want to have your facts well in hand before you take on the choiring girls. Also, by the way, who are you?
I'm Captain Quince. I'm in charge of your cavalry escort to Fort Laramie.
Oh, yes, indeed, of course. Well, now, I'm Horace Quiring. Oh, and this is my wife, Winifred, and my niece, Augusta. We call her Gussie. Gussie. Girls, Captain Quince.
Ma'am? Miss?
Shake hands, Captain.
Yes, ma'am.
My goodness, Quince.
Well, she's thinking of the Australian black ash.
Oh?
Indeed, I'm not, Uncle Horace. We studied the quince at the seminary. I'm thinking more in terms of the pear-shaped fruit of the Pyrus Sidonia.
She has you there, Horace.
Oh, yeah. I warn you, Captain, they keep a man on his pace. Well, shall we make our descent?
Yes, I kind of think we better.
Maybe it's a little early for him to have breakfast, Lee.
For the Quirings? They probably struck out before dawn and roasted a buffalo on an open fire. A fire Gussie made rubbing two dry sticks together.
I know you don't like your assignment, Lee, but there's no cause to exaggerate.
I thought the Indian agent was exaggerating, too.
They seem like perfectly nice people to me. A pleasant, close-knit family.
You spent 5 minutes with them. Never got past how to do.
Now, Mrs. Daggett was leaving on the stage. I explained that.
Yeah, it's all right. Maybe it's better you find out for yourself. The Indian agent says they know more about Indians than the Indians do. They might start telling us how to run the guard mount.
I wish they'd come. I'm starved.
Maybe they're lost.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
The Indian agent says they're always lost. You see, they go climbing around a lot, looking for birds and things.
Well... They're not lost this time. Here's Mr. Quiring.
Well, my goodness. Oh, don't you bother getting up for me, Major and Captain.
Morning, Mr. Quiring.
Morning, sir.
Oh, isn't it? Oh.
Sit down, Mr. Quiring.
Thank you. All right. Well, now, how nice. So this is the officer's mess, is it?
That's right. Would you like some coffee while we're waiting?
Oh, I'd love some coffee. Nothing like a good cup of coffee to... waiting.
For the ladies.
And the ladies?
For Mrs. Quiring, Miss Gussie.
Oh, the girls. See, where are they?
Well, I just supposed you'd all be together.
We were, yeah, but that was at breakfast. I haven't seen the girl since breakfast. A little raspy in the throat, are we, Captain?
No, I sort of choked.
Oh, you want to watch that? That's bad business.
You've had breakfast, Mr. Quire?
My goodness, yes. Why, it's after 7, Major. Oh, it was a good breakfast, too. It was outdoors, you know, open fire. All the sounds of the aurora as the sun came up and shone with its full glory on Laramie Peak.
You say an open fire, Mr. Quire?
Yes, Gussie insists on an open fire. Ever since she learned how to... Well, the things young ladies learn in seminaries these days... My, just open your eyes.
Mind telling us what you had for breakfast?
Not at all. Glad to. Winifred's department, you know, the food. She made the boast. But to tell you the truth, I never thought she'd bag it. Well, sir, she wasn't up in that canyon 5 minutes until... Bang, bang! Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't frighten you, Major.
No. I'm all right.
Bang, bang... What, Mr. Quire?
Oh, breakfast. Yes, breakfast.
It wasn't a buffalo by any chance.
Oh, no. A buffalo. I don't believe Winifred could have bagged a buffalo. No, it wasn't a buffalo.
I didn't think it would be.
No, it was an antelope. See, that is a bad throat you've got there, Captain.
I guess it comes from exaggerating things. Wouldn't you say, Major?
I've got some business to attend to. Better get over to headquarters.
But you haven't had your breakfast, Major.
Well, I'm not hungry.
Oh, no. I'll bet Winifred could tempt you with some of that antelope. Oh, my. Delicate, succulent. I hope their foray into the woods was successful. I couldn't go with them. You see, I was most anxious.
Foray into what woods, Mr. Quiring?
What woods? Now, wait just... Let me get my bearings. Which way is north?
That way.
That's splendid. Yes, that's it. There are some woods to the north... And last time I saw the girls, they were...
Captain Quince, you're to form a search party immediately. Take what men you need.
Search party? Why?
The land to the north is Indian country, Mr. Quiring.
But of course, that's why they went. But, oh, my goodness, a search. You speak as if the girls are lost.
We're speaking as if they're in danger, Mr. Quiring. Those woods are full of Arapaho, Shoshone, Crow.
Oh, I don't think they'll bother the girls. But I am glad you mentioned that. I've been meaning to have a chat with you concerning the perimeter defense of the fort.
Captain?
Yes, sir.
Move out.
Yes, now, Major...
Right away, sir.
I noticed last night a tattoo. It seemed to me if you'd make the slightest...
I wonder if I understood you correctly, Captain. We're to look up in the trees as well?
You understood me, Mr. Syberts. Up in the trees, up on rock ledges, up on cliffs.
The ladies climb, sir?
Climb or fly, I don't know. But you pick a spot no one can get to except maybe an eagle. They'll be there. Ahead of us, Mr. Syberts.
Sounds like a grizzly.
Like no grizzly I ever heard. Put your rifle down, Mr. Syberts. Let's give him a hand.
It's an Indian, Captain.
Yeah, that poor devil.
Somebody stuffed a gag in his mouth, and what's all this he's caught in?
That, Mr. Syberts, is a butterfly net.
Well, how on earth...
Here, give me a hand.
Yes, sir.
Let's get that kerchief out of his mouth.
No. No kill. No kill.
You're all right. We're not going to kill you. What are we caught on, Mr. Syberts?
It's a handle or something, sir. Trapped down in this brush.
You let go. I run. I no come here again. You let go. White squaws. Crazy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You! Young man! Down there! Don't set him free!
Captain, look where she is. Clear up at the top of the...
I told you, Mr. Syberts.
You better come down from there, Mrs. Quiring.
No, you not let her down here again. I run. White squaw full of bad spirits.
Oh, shut up.
Young men, do as I say. Leave the Indian as you found him. He bothers us.
Keep working, Mrs. Syberts. Let him go when you get him free. I'll go up and get the girls.
Are you hard of hearing, young man? I hallooed you on two occasions about the Indian, and
I heard you, Mrs. Quiring.
And you deliberately let him go after I told you he bothered us.
He won't bother you anymore. See down there? He's running like fire down.
They've flown, Aunt Winifred. But with all the commotion, who can blame them?
Indeed. First the Indian, and we silenced him. But now, just look around down there, Gussie. Enough army to... Have you lost something important, Captain?
Ma'am, you got to understand a few things about the West, about Indians, about army garrisons.
Well, now, if that isn't what we're trying our level best to do, Captain Quince, and how better to do it than by going directly to nature, studying the birds of flight, the animals...
Miss Gussie.
Yes?
Miss Gussie, this is Indian country. You're not allowed to go directly to nature in Indian country, not if you're a white woman.
Now, that's plain silly.
It's a treaty, says so, Mrs. Quiring. Took a long time talking, negotiating, giving and taking. And finally, it was decided the Indians were the only ones with rights to this land.
The Indian didn't mean us any harm, did you think, Aunt Winifred?
Furthest thing from his mind. He was nosy, that's all. Gussie and I had stolen up on... Now, mind what I tell you, Captain. We'd stolen up on a bittern, a sharp-shinned hawk.
Aunt Winifred, your language...
I'm breaking it down for the Captain. Remember the problem we had earlier about what he called grouse?
Oh, of course.
Ma'am, if you'll let me get a word
in... A bittern, a sharp-shinned hawk, a goshawk, a bald eagle, and a crow.
A crow, Aunt Winifred?
The Indian was a crow, wasn't he, Captain?
Yes, ma'am. He was a crow. And to use her words, Major, when the crow persisted in making so much noise, we did the only reasonable thing. That's when they dropped a butterfly net on him and gagged him with a kerchief.
Wait a minute, I've lost track. Is this crow a bird or a...
Indian.
Captain, the Army's been my life for 15 years. But this business with acquirings may bring it to an untimely conclusion. I'm about to write Washington that if they send another party out here in the name of investigating anything, I'll resign.
How long the Quiring's going to be putting up here?
He hasn't said. But this is an order, Captain. From now on, I'm assigning you to a full-time watch and the three of them. We can't always be sending search parties out to find them.
There's no watching the three of them at one time. They got a way of pairing off or striking out alone.
Assign a man to each of them. But I want them accounted for at all times.
Hope we don't have any Indian uprisings before they leave. We couldn't spare the men to fight them.
Oh, no.
Yeah? That'd be Mrs. Quiry.
What on earth's she doing with Sergeant Gorse?
Talking to him, anyway. I'd have to get closer to find out what about.
You go ahead, Captain. I'm going over to the sutlers. I just remembered Mrs. Daggett's out of Hatpin.
Trying to understand?
I'm not sure, no, ma'am. I hear what you're saying, all right.
It's a perfectly simple and direct statement. Toe out.
Toe out.
Oh, Captain Quince, help me make this nice sergeant understand.
What's wrong, Sergeant?
I don't rightly know, Captain. Something about the way I walk or don't walk or something. The lady,
You two haven't met? Formally?
Well, now
she
we
just haven't... She just come on me talking.
Well, then, allow me. Ms. Quiring, this is Sergeant Gorse.
Shake hands, Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am.
Now then, did you say Gorse?
Yes, ma'am. That's my name, Gorse.
Wonderful! Oh, wonderful! Wait till I tell Gussie and Horace. A Quince and a Gorse on the same army post. Oh, I can't wait. This is too good to keep. You'll excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't forget, Sergeant. Toe out. Toe out.
She sure got a burr somewhere, ain't she?
Maybe.
You think I walk funny, Captain?
I'm beginning to think everyone's a little funny around here, one way or another. Hmm.
My name. What's she going on about my name for?
She knows what it means.
Well, what does it mean?
I don't know. Now, me, I got a couple of choices. They can't decide if I'm an Australian black ash or the pear-shaped fruit of the Pyrus Sedonia.
Captain, I'm going to go get me some beer.
See you practice on the way over, Sergeant. I don't forget. Toe out.
You just gotta make up your mind to stay put, Mr. Choir. We can't come looking for you every now and then.
Well, I've never lost, you know. Never. I always know where I am. I have maps and charts.
Well, it's more that I don't know where you are.
Oh, then you're lost.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm just...
Oh, well, that's a different matter entirely. But don't worry, I'll get us back. I have maps and charts and things. Can't understand Winifred, though. That's my wife, Winifred.
Yes, sir.
It's not like her to steer me wrong this way. Usually, Winifred's word is her bond. She says something, it's true. But this time, she... By the way, I don't believe I caught your name, Sergeant.
My name's Gorse.
Oh, yes, Sergeant Gorse. Oh, that's a fine name. Imagine, you're quite proud of... Did you say Gorse?
I sure did.
Oh, my. That's a good one. Well, now, the joke's on me, Sergeant.
It is, huh?
Yes. Winifred didn't steer me wrong at all. She said... Oh, my, this is rich. Yes, it is. She was telling me about the Gorse, you see. And I was quite naturally excited about that.
Why?
Well, for a good reason, I assure you. You don't run into Gorse every day, you know.
Well, I don't, but... Now, look here, Mr. Choir.
Well, I quite naturally assumed that Winifred was referring to the common furs, or wind. And that's why I struck out to see it. Perhaps snip a sample or two.
I sure don't know what you're talking about. And your wife. I hear everything she says, and I don't know what she's talking about, neither.
Well, then as I rode out, I got to thinking, perhaps Winifred wasn't referring to the common furs, or wind at all. Yes, I said. Well, it's been years since I read her paper on the Gorse, but I remember the main points, all right. So, let me see now. There's the Gorse linnet, the Gorse chat, Gorse hatch, Gorse hatcher, and Gorse thatcher.
What are you talking about? All them Gorses?
Oh, my. Oh, now, say. Oh, shame on me. Well, I never remember to keep it simple for the lemur. Will I never remember? Well, to begin at the beginning again. We're back now to the firs and the wind. That's very like juniper.
That last bunch with all them Gorses in front of
birds. Them. Yeah, birds. Songbirds, many of them.
You like birds. Is that what you're saying?
Do I like birds? Oh, my dear Gorse. Birds and I... Oh, I'm sorry, but a sergeant named Gorse... Well, Winifred will just have to do a paper on that.
Oh, we got a lot more interest in birds than that out here.
You do?
Oh, huh? Sure. Well, you don't want to mess around with common old Gorses when you can come up on say, the Jayhawk.
Yeah.
He flies backwards, you know.
Backwards? Yeah.
And then there's the Mugwump.
Mugwump?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say Mugwump? My goodness, I thought they were extinct.
Oh, no. No, we got them all over out here. Then there's the three-footed firebird.
Three-footed?
Stands on one, rubs his other two together, makes fires.
Gussie will be thrilled.
I just can't believe this. That's why I come up here, Captain. They're really leaving?
That's what they say. Pushing farther west. On the trail of a three-footed firebird.
I told them California. Up high in the Sierra. Leastwise, the last covey I saw was there.
I understand Mrs. Quarian's going to give you full credit on her paper about them. You better count heads here. Here's Mr. Quiring talking to the major.
Well, I seen Mrs. Quiring not 2 minutes ago. She was helping the squad do some Indian beadwork.
Well, she isn't doing it now. Find her, Gorse.
Oh, now. She ain't run away again, Captain.
I want them all three on that stage, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye out for Miss Gussie while you're at it, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Captain? Captain?
Yes, Mr. Quiring?
Well, now, I wouldn't want to miss shaking your hand in farewell, Captain. The stage is packed. I've said my goodbyes to the major. You lose something?
Your wife. And I don't see Miss Gussie either.
Well, now, let me see. Well, if I were Winifred, now, where would I go? I always begin that way, you see, and then I let my mind function as if it were Winifred's mind. The Root House.
That's clear over behind the settlers.
That far? Well, when we go over...
What's she doing at the Root House?
Oh, my, you didn't know? She found a small flowering gorse and thought it only fair.
Never mind.
Captain Quince!
What now?
It's Miss Gussie, Captain.
You see, Captain, we're all accounted for. There's no problem.
No, I'm afraid there is, sir. It seems Miss Gussie was demonstrating how quickly she... Well, they don't think it's too serious, but... Under the circumstances, they took her to the post hospital.
Hospital?
Yes. Under what circumstances, Mr. Syberts?
Burned hands, Captain. But the doctor says in a few days she'll be able to travel.
In a few days? Mr. Syberts, this is an order. For the next few days, no dry sticks for Miss Gussie. Now move out.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Tom Henley. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Howard McNear, Virginia Gregg, Parley Bear, Shirley Mitchell, and John Daner. Jack Moyles is Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell is Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is no signature on a Valentine. Not that our danger-loving insurance investigator is opposed to romance. It's just that the detective's profession calls for a pragmatic approach to life if he wants to go on living. That's why, no matter how lovely a lady may be, and no matter how attracted to her Johnny Dollar may be, solving the particular case he's working on always takes precedence over sentiment. The case he's working on now calls for courage as well as caution, and it's a baffling mystery thriller you'll enjoy following clue by clue as you listen to Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Monday through Friday evening on most of the same CBS radio stations. Gunsmoke, brought to you by Chesterfield. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed, thanks to Accuray. They satisfy the most. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Hey, Tipple, move that horse, you're an order, so I can get mine in there.
This hitch rack's pretty crowded, Ferris. Can't you tie up someplace else?
I said move him over.
Here, now, don't do that.
No.
You hit my horse again, I'll shoot you, Ferris.
You won't do nothing.
What's the matter with you? You drunk?
You got a complaint about something, Tipple.
Yeah, Paris, I got a complaint.
Go ahead, Tipple, I'm waiting.
All right, hold it there, you men.
You stay out of this, Marshal.
Not likely.
Now, look here, Marshal. I know you're a friend of Tipple's, but I don't know as I like your protecting him this hard.
I'm not protecting anybody, Paris. I'm stopping a gunfight. Now, you get moving.
I'll meet you any time, Paris.
You shut up.
We'll meet right enough. When you ain't got your nursemaid around.
Why'd you stop it, Matt? He had it coming to him.
You're pretty hot-tempered, aren't you, Ben?
Did you see what he done?
That's no reason to shoot a man, and you know it.
An ordinary man, no, but that Paris has been looking for trouble for a long time.
I know what he's like. But you keep away from him, Ben.
It's bound to happen, Matt, sooner or later, and I don't hide from no man. You know me well enough for that.
This doggone old river's awful high for this time of year, ain't it, Mr. Dillon?
I must have been having some big rains up in Colorado.
Oh, now that's where I'd like to be. Up in them tall, cool mountains.
Yeah?
My, just think of laying on your back up there in the deep grass, drinking snow water and eating trout, and listening to all them pretty birds singing away.
We'll miss you, Chester.
Oh, I ain't going nowhere.
Hey, look on the bank there.
Some fellow fishing. He must have fell asleep.
He isn't asleep, Chester.
No, sir. I don't believe he is. What? That's Frank Parrish, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Shot in the back.
Well, that's terrible. There's his pole. By golly, he was sitting here fishing and somebody sneaked up and shot him. Oh, that's a mean way to die.
Yeah, we'll get a wagon and carry him back to Dodge.
All right.
Get on, Chester.
What? I can't see nobody.
All right, come out of there. You can't get both of us. Come out or we'll start shooting.
Don't shoot, Marshal. I'm coming.
What?
Why, it's only a kid. Sandy Spangler.
Andy, what are you doing out here?
Nothing, Marshal. I was going to go fishing, but I lost my line.
Well, why were you hiding in the brush there?
Him. I heard a shot some time ago, and I come looking around. I found him laying there. And I got scared when I heard you ride up, so I hid.
You didn't see anybody?
No, I didn't see nothing. Whoever did it was gone.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Dillon.
What is it, Chester?
Well, the way Frank and Ben Tipple was carrying on, you don't suppose Ben could have did it, do you? I know he's a good friend of yours and all.
Never mind, Chester. Well, let's get back to town. Come on, Andy. You can ride behind me.
That whistling man, Bobby Haggart, really started something. Tonight, the Calypso Boys join in. Ready, amigos?
Packs more pleasure, packs more pleasure. Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. By Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Hello, Ben.
Why, Matt. Come in. Oh, I was about to take a little nap. Now it's cooled off some.
Ben, you heard what happened to Frank Parrish yesterday?
Yeah. Yeah, I heard.
Well?
Are you asking me if I did it, Matt?
Most everybody in Dodge thinks you did.
And what do you think?
Well, I've been telling everybody I've known Ben Tipple a long time and that he's hot-tempered and that Frank Parrish has been prodding him every chance he had. But that Parrish didn't even have his gun out. Besides, he was shot in the back.
Mm-hmm. What are people saying to that?
They're saying you're a friend of mine. They think that's why I haven't arrested you.
Well, is it?
I'd go after my own brother if I thought he murdered a man, Ben.
Happened yesterday morning sometime, didn't it, Matt?
Yeah, that's right.
I got no alibi for then. I wasn't with nobody.
Yeah, that's too bad. It would have helped.
I might have shot Frank Parrish someday, Matt, but never in the back.
I know that, Ben. But until I find out who did it, you better lay low.
Just look at this place, Matt.
What's wrong, Kitty?
Well, it may be the biggest saloon in Dodge, but it's sure the emptiest.
You're getting greedy, Kitty.
And it's about time. I'm sure not getting younger.
You're going to be able to retire before you're 30.
Why not?
Well, I'm glad somebody's gotten rich around here. Law sure isn't.
No. But the law keeps busy.
What?
Joe Spangler and his pa. I think he's looking for you, Matt.
Oh.
Evening, Miss Kitty.
Evening.
I want to talk to you, Marshal.
Go ahead, Spangler.
I want to know why you ain't got Ben Tipple in jail.
Frank Ferris was a friend of yours, wasn't he?
That don't matter.
And it doesn't matter that Ben Tipple's a friend of mine. He didn't do it, Spangler.
There's a lot of people who think he did, Marshal.
You have any proof?
Well, my boy Andy, I think he saw Tipple out there. And I'll get it out of him. I whipped him once already.
Look, Spangler, your boy would have told me if he'd seen anybody. Why would he try to protect Ben Tipple?
Scared.
Scared of what?
You. What you might do to him if he talked.
Now, just a minute, Spangler.
Now, he's gonna talk before I'm through.
You get out of here. You're making me mad.
Well, no, I didn't aim to do that, Marshal. All I wanted is to get you to do your job before somebody has to do it for you.
Easy, Matt.
Yeah. Ought to take him apart.
Well, that wouldn't help.
It'd make me feel better.
You'll be all right. Soon you'll find out who did kill Paris.
How am I going to find that out, Kitty? With all this going on, he's as safe as a bear in a hickory tree.
Well, looks to me like you're going to have a busy day today, Mac.
I am. Why, Doug?
Well, I don't know. Now, maybe it's because you did so little yesterday.
Do I owe you some money or something, Doc?
No. You're all paid up, but, you know, Mac, I've been thinking.
How much you want, Doc?
Oh, $10 to do it.
Yeah? Here you are.
Oh, well, thank you.
Sure, Doc. Just pay it back by Friday, that's all.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. You think I was merely asking for a loan?
You have your own way of doing things, Doc.
So's he.
What?
Look. That filthy Spangler. He's cuffing his boy around again.
No, Pa, don't.
I've had about enough of his ways.
I warned you, boy. I warned you what you did.
No, Pa. I didn't mean.
You won't learn, will you?
All right, that's enough, Spangler.
Bye. Now you just get out of here, Marshal. You ain't interfering in this.
Let the boy go, Spangler.
Let him go.
I said that's enough. Andy, you stand over here. He won't hit you again.
I didn't mean to do it. I told him I didn't.
What did you do, Andy?
I lost his rifle. I borrowed it to go hunting, and I fell across the river, and I lost it.
I ought to kill you, Marshal.
Don't try it, Spangler. Now, come on, get on your feet.
What right you got coming between the man and his boy?
None, I guess, but I took it anyway.
That kid ought to be in jail stealing like he does.
He wasn't stealing.
It ain't none of your business, Marshal. And I ain't gonna talk to you about it. Andy, I'll see to you later.
You beat him again, and I'll throw you in jail.
He won't beat me because I ain't going home. Not ever.
Now, what'll your mother think, Andy?
I got no mother.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot, Andy.
And he hates me.
Look, Andy, if things get bad, you come see me, huh? Anytime. Will you do that?
Maybe.
And don't let your pa make you say anything that isn't true, Andy. You don't have to. You understand? Yeah. All right. Now, you just remember, you can come see me anytime.
Well,
Where are you listening to Gunsmoke? In your favorite easy chair? Or out driving? Oh, there you are. In the kitchen. Say, you want to make whatever you're doing more enjoyable? Have a Chesterfield. Enjoy Chesterfield's better taste and mildness. It stands to reason a cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips, mild yet deeply satisfying. Yes, Chesterfield gives you something no other cigarette can give you.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
To the touch, to the taste, Chesterfield packs more pleasure because it's more perfectly packed. Buy Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
Stars up there just a-shining away.
Yeah. And look at all those lights in the saloons just a-shining away.
You ain't much of a nature lover, are you?
Not while I got work to do, Chester.
What work?
Well, for the next few hours, I got to walk around and try to make sure nobody's going to get cheated or get too drunk or get killed, maybe.
Mm, you're right. Sometimes that can turn into work. Well, looky there. It's Andy. Now, what's he up to?
Marshal Dillon!
Yeah, what's the trouble, Andy?
They're in that alley right back there. Come on, hurry, come on!
Well, who's in the alley?
Pa and Ben Tipton. Pa's got him cornered.
What?
Pa's got the drop on him. He hid out in there and waited for him to come by.
But how do you know? What were you doing there?
I thought Pa was after me. But he's gonna shoot Ben Tipton. I know he is.
Well, maybe I can stop him, Andy.
I hope so, but I don't know how.
All right, let's slow down here. You wait here with Chester, Andy. I'm going to go in there alone.
You said you are being here with you, Tipple. Might as well admit it, and you know it.
I wouldn't have minded shooting Frank Parrish, but not in the back. Not even him.
I guess I'm going to have to kill you.
You'll die yourself if you pull that trigger, Spangler.
Marshal.
Now you drop that gun.
No. He killed Frank Parrish, and I'm going to shoot him if I die for it myself.
Don't be a fool.
He's got my gun, Matt.
Just stand steady, Ben.
Marshal!
Get back, Andy.
I've got to tell you something.
He slipped away from me, Mr. Dillon.
It's terribly important.
Help me keep an eye on Spangler, Chester.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, what is it, Andy? Hurry up.
Bend over. I got to whisper.
What?
What's going on there?
Never mind. You got two men who'll shoot you now, Spangler, and you better not try nothing.
I'm getting mighty tired of this. What's that kid doing here anyway?
Well, he didn't come here to murder nobody like his pa did.
Ben Tipple's the murderer, not me.
No, he isn't, Spangler. Tipple didn't shoot Frank Parrish.
You said that before, Marshal.
Andy did it.
Andy?
He just told me.
What are you saying?
It was an accident. He saw something move, and he thought it was an animal, so he fired at it.
I don't believe it.
The day he took your rifle, when he found he'd shot Parrish, he got scared and threw the rifle into the river. You tell him, Andy.
It's true. I was too scared to tell anybody before.
All right. You heard him, Spangler. Now put up that gun.
I don't believe him. He's lying. You stay where you are, Marshal.
Put up your gun, I said.
Not hardly.
You killed him, Matt.
He almost killed me, Ben. Andy, I'm sorry about your paw. But you go with Chester now, huh?
He wasn't my paw.
What?
My real pa died a long time ago. My ma told me about it when she made me change my name.
Oh.
I guess that's why he never did like me much. Beat me all the time.
Yeah.
Marshal?
What, Andy?
When are you going to hang me?
Hang you?
For shooting Mr. Parris.
Is that what you've been thinking?
I admitted doing it, didn't I?
It was an accident, Andy. Nobody's going to hang you. Ben.
What, Matt?
He's a mighty brave boy.
Yeah. Yeah, he sure is. Why, he spoke up just now to save my life, thinking he'd be hung for it, didn't he? Andy, how'd you like to come home with me? I got a place for a boy like you.
You mean that?
I sure do.
Marshal, you believe me? You think he means it?
Yeah, Andy. I think he means it.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad.
Chesterfield packs more pleasure because Chesterfield's more perfectly packed.
A cigarette made better and packed better smokes better, tastes better. And Chesterfield is more perfectly packed by Accuray. This electronic miracle removes human error in cigarette manufacture. So Accuray Chesterfield is firm and pleasing to the lips. Chesterfield, mild, yet they satisfy the most.
You know, along the frontier, whether because of Indians, a gunman's bullet, or lack of water, death was always near at hand. But next week, it's a girl who causes the death of four men. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were John Daner, Vic Perrin, Richard Beals, and Jack Crucian. Barley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Live modern. Change to L&M.
Live modern. Smoke L&M. Only with L&M can you enjoy the full, exciting flavor of today's finest tobaccos. No other cigarette, plain or filter, gives you the full, exciting flavor you get through the pure white miracle tip. So light up, free up, let your taste come alive. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.